You're going out and about with Elaine here on AM 1320.
Good morning. Whoa, good morning, everyone. Gosh, I think there was a frog in my throat there for a minute. Oh, my goodness. How y'all doing? Honest to God, we've got so much going on today. We've got a full show packed filled with a lot of different outs and abouts for today and tomorrow, but also to we have a special segment for us as well. We have Tony Viveras coming in at the second half hour, the first half hour, and then the second half hour, we're actually donating a whole half hour talking to Jim Corbin, our meteorologist, regarding the hurricane season, hurricane preparedness, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute as well. But I wanted to make sure that we were well prepared, well stocked up, and understood the difference between a watch and a warning. So I'm going to do that as well. And Heather, I asked Heather if the farmer's market was going to be open today, and she's going to be calling in a few minutes to let us know what's going on over there. But, yeah, we've got a super busy day. We've got unbelievable. But anyway, I hope you're doing well. I hope that everybody is bearing down here for what's going to be happening. And I know we are getting a lot of rain here today, and we're just going to go for it and see what happens. I know it's been a long time since everybody's been really talking about hurricanes and the hurricane season. It seems that we've been really blessed with just getting just barely nicked with it, you know, and this storm here, I mean, even though they say it may be going out to sea, you know, it ain't over till it's over, I say. So to be prepared, you know, there are some things that you can do. And what does a hurricane watch mean? Well, it means that a hurricane condition is possible in a watch area that is issued 48 hours before an anticipated onset of a tropical storm. And it all has to do with wind force. Like a tropical storm, when they say that the wind storms are coming, they give it out for 36 hours. A tropical storm means that such conditions are possible within a 48 hours. Well, okay, let's go back. Let's just go back. A hurricane warning means hurricane conditions sustain winds above 73 miles per hour. Now, that's a very strong winds. And they say because hurricane preparedness activities become difficult once winds reach that force, it's always good to be prepared when we have a warning. And that's issued 36 hours in advance in anticipation with those forceful winds of 39 to 73 miles per hour, according to the National Hurricane Season. So, I mean, what are some of the things that you can do? I mean, if you have a smartphone, there's an app for that. And you can go on, I swear to God there is. You can download, the Red Cross has a hurricane app, and you just go into the app store and download it, and it's there. But so basically what you should do is, and we've seen it on the news, you know, hurricane shutters, board up windows and doors, you know, with the plywood, and bring all items inside that can be picked up from the wind, you know, like those lawn chairs and all those other things that are out there. Reinforce garage doors, which I didn't know. Turn the refrigerator to the coldest setting in case of a power outage. If you use it, and when you think about it, that's really interesting. Keep the doors closed as much as you can. I remember this growing up. My mother used to fill the bathtub of water in case that you couldn't drink the water and everything. So this is another one. Get a full tank of gas. You know, make sure that you have gas in your car to get away. Go over an evacuation plan with family and learn the alternative routes to safety. Learn the location of the nearest shelter. And make sure that you do. There are other things, too. I'm not going to read the whole list, but here's one. 3-day supply of water. So you figure 1 gallon per day. Of course, with me, it's 3 days of coffee that I would be providing. 3 days of food, you know, like the staples, of course, like canned vegetables and stuff. Peanut butter and jelly, salt, you know, crackers, anything that you can have. A can opener, a flashlight, a battery-powered radio. Oh my, and plenty of coffee and extra batteries. And get this, they even said like whistles for everybody. And my good friend Tony Viveras just came in. Good morning, Tony. And he's not set up on mic yet, but he will be. But yeah, a whistle.
Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. So a whistle, huh? That's interesting. Is it because people could get lost in the, I don't know.
You know what I think it's for? In case people get trapped underneath a building.
and they can't talk or scream. They can just blow the whistle.
Ah.
People could find them.
You know, that's very smart. It's like everything else. My gosh, that's really interesting. But anyway, my good friend Tony is here, but if you can wait a sec, I'm going to do some outs and abouts.
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
Then we'll talk about Zubu or yeah. Boozoo at the Capron Park. I'll show you the paper.
Okay. Well, I got the paper. Today's?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm the out and about gal. I know everything that goes on here.
I know. And the weather today is not conductive to out and about.
Out and about activities. I know. We got to go inside for that.
Yeah.
I know, really.
How about in and about?
In and about. Well, today I can actually read the score. So if you are a football.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know that Attleboro won.
Would you want to read the scores? You're my guest. Would you like
okay.
to? That'll
just,
take the pressure
just,
off of me.
Let's see. Blue Hills, 36, Tri-County, 8. Millis Hopdale, 34, Norton, 21. Attleboro, 41, Taunton, 6. King Philip, they beat Mansfield.
Wow.
15-7, wow. And Foxborough over Canton by a score of 10-7. And Fian was supposed to play last night at Martha's Vineyard, but I don't know if that game got canceled. Or
it probably did because the scores aren't there.
Yeah, yeah. Or either that the score came in late.
For publishing.
Yeah, who knows? But
wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you played the lottery, and I've got some news, but somebody at work actually won some of the money at the Powerball.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Rhode Island daily number is 4543. Mass daily number is 4447. Mass cash is 717 22 28 29. Mega Millions 414, excuse me, 29 31 47. Mega Ball is 9 and the Mega Plier is 2. One guy, they had a Powerball pool.
Oh,
everybody
yeah, like
chipped
a group,
in $5 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, this guy here and his wife, they went out and they got a Powerball ticket, and he won $30,000.
Wow.
He missed by one number.
For the Powerball?
Yes. Jeez. He would have won the millions, and it wouldn't have gone to Michigan. What is it with these people outside, you know, out west, I should say? And they always win. They always say, Michigan,
know.
Indiana.
But a couple of years ago, somebody in Rhode Island hit the Powerball.
Did they really?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, and I think it was in the Newport area. That
oh yes, that millionaire that won.
No, she wasn't
was it
a millionaire.
Somebody
I don't think
that really needed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that really needed
oh,
it.
Oh, that's good. That's what makes it.
Yeah, and I like
so
to
special.
See these group tickets, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
you know where some
companies,
factory workers, and they
yeah. Yes, we could all use a little help. We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Can't hear.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, there we go. And who do we have on the line today?
Good morning, Elaine. It's Heather Parika, Attleboro Farmers Market. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so glad that you called in because you were my first out and about activity. I was wondering about you. What's going to happen?
Well, we're going to put our rain boots on and grab an umbrella, and we're going to the farmers market. That's what
you
we're
are.
Doing. Mm. Absolutely. The farmers are a hardy bunch. You know, they're out in the rain. They're out in the heat of the summer. We don't shut down. We are rain or shine, and we let the individual vendors determine whether or not they participate. So we have had some cancellations, but we will still have some people there. So if you need some veggies and a book from the library, because the library is going to be there today for a big read event, come on down, and you can get those things. Yeah.
All right, great. So you are going to be open at 9.
We will be open at 9 o'clock. It's kind of a potpourri of who's going to be there. Well, it's like a magic bag. We don't know who's going to be there or not, but we'll be there.
Wow, that's great, Heather. All right.
Yeah, and that's good because
Hi,
Heather. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
This is
good.
Tony. It's nice because for those people who enjoy native vegetables and fruits, we know that it's coming down to the end of the year, and we want to savor those tastes, if I
you
may.
You got that.
Because I look forward every year to native tomatoes and native cucumbers and, of course, native corn, which is my favorite. And, you know, there's nothing like it, and we have to suffer through the winter with the greenhouse and all the other stuff.
You're right. We've also, and an interesting statistic, which I know I've told you before, this is our 95th farmer's market. It has only rained during the market hours twice in 95 events.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I know it's rainy and gross right now, and it will dry up at 8:59, and then it won't rain again until 1:01.
That's right. I love your positivity.
You know, I'm not made of sugar. I don't melt. This is, you know, a little rain doesn't hurt. It's really, we've needed it really bad for a really long time. So my farmers are doing a dance of joy, but at the same token are hoping that they do get some customers to come in. We have some diehard fans that'll come no matter what. So
right.
We'll be there. Come on down.
All right. I'm going to my favorite place for breakfast after this. I have to have my breakfast. But then that's my routine. I do the show. I go to Mackey's. I come to the farmer's market.
Perfect.
I'll see you in a little bit.
Sounds good.
Thanks Heather.
Bye, Heather.
Bye, Tony.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I put on Channel 10, and the meteorologist, Kelly Bates, said it was 44 degrees in Attleboro this morning. I was thinking to myself, another 6 to 8 degrees below, this could be snow.
Yep. Oh, my God.
You know? And here we are, only in the third day of October, and, you know, I had snow on my mind. But
oh, my God. You know. What's
unreal?
No, I know.
No, I hear you. Oh, my God, we're up against a break, but when we come back, we've got a lot of different things that are happening in the area. One I'd like to read before the break, it's the Attleboro Firemen Open House, and it's this Saturday. It's today at the South Attleboro Fire Station on West Street. It's from noontime to 3. Come on down to the fire station, have some pizza, and meet the firefighters. This is a really great event for young children, too, and I'm going to see if my grandchildren would like to do that because it's a lot of fun, too. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. This is Elaine the Roach. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
In the Vampire's Grasp, narrating America's Restless Dead will be presented by author Michael Bell on Thursday, October 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Old Sturbridge Village. Bell, who was awarded a Ph.D. in folklore from Indiana University, begins to unravel the mystery of vampires with a family story told to him by an old Yankee from Rhode Island. For more information about this haunting event, call 1-800-733-1830.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants.
Ghost Stories in the Cemetery will take place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Sunday, October 18th as part of the 100th year anniversary of Rehoboth. Do you have a ghost story or tale of the paranormal to share? Call the Blanding Library, located on Bay State Road in Rehoboth at 508-252-4236.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and boy, do we have a lot of things that are out and about today. Bring an umbrella because you want to get out and about. I swear to God, the South Attleboro Village Lions Club is holding their second annual Pause for Fun event. The event takes place, on Sunday, so you'll be able to go, and it's going to be really nice and sunny from 10 a.m. to 3. It'll be held at the North Attleboro Elks Club on Bullfinch Street. They'll have lots of people vendors and pet vendors, face painting, a variety of food to purchase, and you can bring your pet for a photo op, too. All proceeds go to the Lions Charities. That sounds like a lot of fun. Also, a special Gloria Gemma Foundation Breast Cancer Tribute Water Fire is tonight at 6:30. This is one of the largest water fires of survivors of breast cancer. They do a great memorial for those who have died of breast cancer, but also breast cancer survivors and their families. The State House and most of the downtown area businesses have pink lights in tribute to it all. It's a really great, very, very moving tribute. And the water fire is exquisite. There's a lot of vendors there. So if you can, bring an umbrella. They will be starting. They are not canceling that water fire. Also, the Attleboro Area Industrial Museum has a great assortment of pins, spoons, letter openers, medallions, charms, and so much more. Come check out the jewelry memorabilia from the Attleboro area. The museum is located at 42 Union Street. Jeez, that's right here. From 10 a.m. to 3 today, and they are also open during the week. At the movies, The Intern with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway starts today. I can't wait to see this movie. The Martian with Matt Damon tells the story of an astronaut presumed dead during a mission to Mars. We follow his journey as he gets stranded on Mars, but he's really, really trying to make it back home. Now, this movie, The Walk. The Walk is just been released, a 3D drama film. It's based on the story of French high wire artist Philippe Petit walking between the twin towers of the World Trade Center on August 7th, 1974. The film stars Ben Kingsley. It stars James Dale, Ben Schwartz, Stephen Valentine. The film was released by TriStars, and it's in IMAX 3D. But be warned, it's not for the faint of heart. If you have a fear of heights, well, let's just say you'll be closing your eyes through most of the movie. Moviegoers have been reported getting violently sick because the movie puts you into the action, so you actually feel that you're way up high in the air. And some of the people have actually gotten motion sickness, and I am not kidding. So, I mean, the kid in me wants to see it just because it's just like a really fascinating thing. But gosh, you know, I don't know. And then, of course, Black Mass is about the notorious Whitey Bulger. I did get to see that with Johnny Depp playing Whitey Bulger. I mean, he should really win the Oscar for his transformation and his acting. It was so believable that you forget it's actually Johnny Depp. The action, the acting, and the accuracy of the movie is just phenomenal. I encourage you, if you do go see this movie, to stay till the end because the show actually has photos of him and the real his real gangsters crew. On the music scene, Greg Abate performs tonight at Chan's at 8 o'clock. He has a CD release party with Phil Woods, who just recently passed away on Tuesday. Frankie Valli Tribute Band is playing tonight at the Stadium Theater, and that's also next to Chance. The fun begins at 8 o'clock. Arlo Guthrie, God, he's still alive. 50th Anniversary Tour concert is October 9th at 8 o'clock at the Berklee School of Music in Boston. And one more, the British Invasion Group will perform tonight at the Norwood Theater starting at 7:30. You know, so,
three is about my age.
Really? 22? Yeah.
No, 60, 68, 69.
Oh.
So I hope he's still alive. I mean, the way you mentioned it was that I shouldn't even be here.
No, Tony, I'm only kidding.
His father, Woody Guthrie, now is long gone.
Oh, right, right. That's probably what I was thinking. It was Woody. So. Yes, it wasn't Arlo.
So. For a minute there, I thought Elaine was going to say, you guys remember Tony Viveros? You know, like he's passed on. By the way, Fiend is playing at Martha's Vineyard tomorrow, Sunday, at 12:30 p.m. So they must have field conditions. That
wow.
Went so.
That's going to be mud football tomorrow.
Yeah. So well, tomorrow's supposed to be, is it supposed to rain?
No, it's supposed to be clearing up, but with all the rain, it's going to be soaking into to the grass. It's not going to be like 90 degrees weather.
No, not at all. And so, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. We're holding up coffee cups right now. Thank you so much for bringing coffee to
me
today.
And as Jackie Gleason would say, that's good booze.
It is very good coffee, I have to say. Tony has an industrial coffee maker at home. the line starts forming, at 6 a.m. around your house?
Yeah, drive-up window.
Drive-up window. Well, you do have that circular driveway where people could go. Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah, so...
All right, let's get back to your the Capron Park, the Park Commission. I read in the paper that you're $1,500 short for the concert next year.
And we're asking citizens to donate. Citizens or corporations or any business, feel free to donate. And I feel comfortable that we'll have a full-fledged of concerts next year, 8 concerts, and we want to continue that. For years to come, thanks to the Samuel Stone family, who still donates $2,500 every year. They're in Florida. Jeff Andrews is in Florida, and they still donate. And we still have $30,000 in fixed, which we can't touch, which generates interest to fund the stamps. It doesn't generate the full interest, obviously, but. And we're also working on getting some additional funds where it can be, I'm trying to think of when we go out to these businesses where they have money in their accounts to give out to the communities.
The foundations.
Foundations, thank you very much. God, I was searching for that word.
Oh, I'm a grant writer, so I mean, I know all about foundations that works. Yeah.
And we, hopefully we'll get, foundation to help us out because the summer concerts, it's one of those things. And I know times are changing and all that, but this has been a traditional summer concerts, evenings in the park on a beautiful summer evening when the sun is going down and people get together and mingle and socialize and listen to great music and just enjoy the hour and a half music every Thursday night. So we want to continue that way beyond and for years to come.
Right.
The other thing is that we also have a concert every year at the Ray Concert, Ray Conniff Memorial Bandstand, and it's put on by somebody who's donated 5 years worth of concerts.
Wow.
He wished to be remain nameless, but we thank him. And so that's nice. That's usually on a Sunday afternoon in July from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And right at the bandstand, you drive by and you can see the crowd gathering around the bandstand, as well as you can hear the music. So we're fortunate to have that going on at Capron Park. And you mentioned it during the break, mm-hmm. Elaine, that we're looking into putting a bench and Judy Robbins' memory.
Right.
And Sonny and I, Sonny Almeida, the park superintendent, looked at a beautiful bench at Moss and Beggs, and it looks like 2 tree stumps holding up a granite bench, and it's a very unique bench. The tree stumps, which would fit into Capron Park with all the beautiful trees, are made of granite too, as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and they got little animals on it and leaves and things like that. And it would be ideal for a bench in Judy's memory. So Sonny is looking for a place to put it in the park. And we're hoping to get that in before the winter sets in, even though you would never know it experiencing today's weather.
sure.
But so we're looking forward to doing that. And Judy was, it's been almost a couple of months since she's been gone, but sometimes you get to know a person after they're gone, especially a person in public, where they list all their accomplishments and all the stuff that comes out that people didn't know mm-hmm. about her personally. So
right.
It'd be a great honor to do something. That's the least that we can do for her.
Oh, sure. I agree. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you'd like to join our conversation, we invite you to call in on this very cold, very damp, rainy day. You know what I did last night? It was so cold out. I made chicken pot pie.
Oh, really?
I did.
To heat up the house?
Well, it heated up the whole kitchen. That's what
you're
it
good.
Took. It took forever because I made it from scratch, and that took a long time. Yeah, but
So what were the ingredients, if I may ask?
Oh my God, I'd have to get my purse out to show you. Well, I mean, it was chicken, and you fry up the chicken in a little bit of oil, and then chicken stock and all that other good stuff.
Did you put carrots in there? And
you know what? I didn't have the carrots, but I did have the pearl onions, and I had fresh corn on the cob that I scraped off, so I put corn and peas and stuff in it, and of course the chicken, and then the broth, you know, the chicken stock, and then you thicken it with flour and everything, and you add all that together, thicken it up, put the chicken in it with all of that. I had the pie crust was already prepared.
Yep.
And then you just put it in, bake it for 40 minutes.
See, if you made it for a Saturday night, you could have gotten the carrots, the peas, and everything else from the farmer's market.
Oh, Heather, I'm sorry about that. Yes,
yeah.
He's right. I should have done
that. No, I didn't mean to bring that up.
Nope. My face is red here. That's right, because I always love my farmer's markets. All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Out and About with Elaine LaRoche here on AM 1320.
The Attleboro Public Library Genealogy Club will meet on Saturday, October 3rd from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Come and share your research success stories, roadblocks, thoughts, and questions with fellow genealogy enthusiasts. New participants are welcome to attend. Please register at www.attleborolibrary.org/register or call the library at 508-222-0157.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund reading.
No.
Let me try. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out words.
Playing world music.
What?
I give up.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Redirecting to understood.org.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was six, I had one thing on my mind. When I was six, my days were spent playing basketball every chance I could. When I was six, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was six, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn the signs of a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. I'm Paul George. Protect the ones you love. Spot a stroke F-A-S-T. Fast. Life is why. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Attleboro Springs Wildlife Sanctuary, located on Park Street, will come alive on October 17th for the Halloween Spooktacular. Visitors will be guided through pumpkin-lit trails and greeted by forest inhabitants who are more than willing to share the history of the sanctuary. The guided tours will leave from Attleboro Springs parking lot every 15 minutes, starting from 5 till 8 o'clock p.m. This fun-filled, non-scary Halloween event includes skits, stories, crafts, a campfire, and much, much more. For more information, call 508-223-3060.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. In studio, I have Mike Hansero, who's running my board here, keeping me on track, and my special guest, Tony Viveris, and we were talking about different things that are happening in the Attleboro area with Capron Park, the Farmers Market, and so much more. So, Tony, you were telling me during break, because we do chat during break, a little bit about the concerns about the Farmers Market location. What's going on?
Well, the Farmers Market has been a tremendous success, and with us, me being on the Park Commission, and I've heard nothing but good come out of it. I haven't heard anything bad. Hopefully that Farmers Market will return to Capron Park next year. And I've talked to our zoo director, talked to our groundskeeper, our superintendent. All of them had said it's been a tremendous success and they've had no problems with it. It's on a piece of land at Capron Park that's underutilized. It used to be the main Little League baseball field for many years in the 50s, 60s, and part of the 70s. But now with so many ball fields in Attleboro, it's never used as a ball field. So we as a park commission, I love to see people use the park. That's what it's there for their enjoyment, for many outlets, whether it be music or the zoo or the kids enjoying the splash pad or people shopping at the farmers market. That's, you know, we have a gem in Attleboro, and that's Capron Park, and it's well used, but there's a piece of land that's not used as much, and we like to see it used. And God, you know, with all the native vegetables and fruits and everything there, it's been a hit to both the farmers and to the customers. So I hope that we have a marriage of many years to come with the farmers market.
There's nothing like it. I think I really, like, I get the corn there, and then, like I was saying with the chicken pot pie, I you know, take it off the cob, and I freeze it, and then I have it all winter long.
Yeah, and, you know, it's wonderful to support local farmers. I'm a firm believer in supporting small local businesses.
Me too.
Because they're the roots of the community. And to support the local farmers in all the years. And, you know, they enjoy, too, selling it and seeing people enjoy native, fresh products. And, you know, so we're glad that they're there.
I like the fact that you can actually have a conversation with the farmer that grew those vegetables.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean,
true.
Stop and Shop, you don't know where they're grown, you know, where they're coming from, but it's so great, you know. Or if you have a question about, like, how to cook these beets or something, or, you know, trying to do something different, or kale.
Right, and how long should I keep, and can I freeze it, or can I, you know, enjoy it through the winter, you know. So, you know, they're able to help you with that, but... I'm very happy that they're there. So.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I hope that they continue. And Heather's worked so hard, her and our committee, everybody, you know. And everybody is so friendly, you know, when you go there. It's such a welcoming place. It's a neighborhood It's a neighborhood meeting place, and I like it so much. I really do.
And for those people who ask, are we going to be there next year? We'll have an answer for them toward the end of the season. But I'm hoping that they'll be there. And I'm pretty sure that they'll be there. So keep your fingers crossed, and let's see them.
All right. Well, if anybody starts a petition that they need help, count me in, because I want to make sure that they return tomorrow next year. So we have, I know that we were talking about the weather all this week, and we have Jim Corbin on the line and talking to us, and I really appreciate him taking time out. And Jim, good morning. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Well, around here, good morning, Elaine and Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
How are you? Yeah,
good.
It's the first time really all summer and now fall, we're getting a little wet on a Saturday. But, boy, I'll tell you, it's been an unbelievable stretch, and we really can't complain too much. I mean, the rain is really very light and spotty this morning. There's a little bit of mist. I think the real story today, I think you both would agree, all three of you would agree, is the fact that it's just a little chilly and breezy out there. That's really worse than the actual little spotty light rain. It's a lot better than it was the other day. I think it was Tuesday when we had all that big street flooding and stuff like that. So the good news is, as I always say, it's usually The way to look at it is it could be worse. And how about our friends down in South Carolina, where they've had 12 to 15 inches of rain, not due to the hurricane, but due to the same low-pressure area that was steering the hurricane. And earlier in the week, a few days ago, very complicated jet stream, and we talk about this often in the hurricane season. Because we monitor these things oftentimes several days or even a week, the exact track out several days is very tough to say or tough to forecast because it really depends on the track as to what you get. So earlier this week, it was a bad case scenario with the hurricane moving into the Carolinas. That then by midweek, it looked like it was going to head up Chesapeake Bay near Baltimore. And then the day after that, it looked like it was going to head up right near New York City. And then the day after that or so, it looks like it was going to head up right through southern New England. And then the day after that, again, the main trend you can see is wobbling a little further east, just offshore of Cape Cod. And now it looks like it's going to track far enough that we're just going to get rough seas continuing because we've had these northeast winds for several days. So, again, I'm bringing that up because there are some people out there that say, oh, we don't know how to forecast these things. Well, because we monitor them so far out, unlike a winter storm, which typically forms and about a day or two later we get hit by them, we can forecast those in terms of their tracks better than we can the tropical systems just because of the fact that they're not out there that far, in other words, in time. In other words, we know we're going to get a snowstorm or a rainstorm, say, in the cold season, within about 2 days of it, whereas these hurricanes, this thing has been around now for a week, and to pinpoint the exact track a week in advance is very tough, and it's all how it interacts with the jet stream. And again, as I said, that jet stream that's steering it is the main reason why that southeast United States has been getting so much rain. Well, yeah, certainly it's been damp here. It's been a lot less rain than down there. So, again, today's weather, the first real Saturday of the warm season, as I like to call it, May to October, that we have had some rain on a Saturday. So I'm bringing this all up because as much as it's not nice out there, I don't think we really can complain. So, yeah, get out to the farmer's market and anything else today, and don't complain about the weather. I mean, yeah, it's not nice out there, but, it's really kind of typical of what we often get now that we're into October.
Jim, you know, when I stepped out this morning, the first thing I think of is because it's so cold and so damp, it goes right through you. I call it raw.
That's a good way to describe it, Tony. That's the good point because it's in the generally upper 40s. I think that report in the mid 40s from Attleboro is a little low, but that's a subtle difference. But it's not just if this was a nice sunny morning with light winds, dry air, and it was 48 degrees, that would be a lot nicer than 48 degrees, windy, and as you say, raw and damp because there's a bit of a wind chill. And when you add moisture to the air, it makes you feel even colder because you get evaporation on your face. It's almost like when you come out of a shower. This is kind of a crazy way to describe it, but it's true. You come out of a shower, and for the first minute or so, I mean, it could be 72 degrees in the bathroom, but you feel chilly because you get the evaporation of that water that's initially on you. So on a day like today, 48 degrees on average right now across the area feels more like probably 40 degrees because of the fact that we have a bit of a breeze and we also have the damp feel to the air causing the evaporation, just like in the wintertime when it's snowing. I mean, you know, it's would you rather have it snowing in 15 degrees and windy, or would you have nice to have it nice and sunny, cold, but dry at 15 degrees? So that's the issue that we're dealing with this morning. In terms of what's going to happen down the road, it looks like we're going to have slightly better weather tomorrow. And again, I'm not putting down today's weather, but just not really nice out there. But tomorrow, I think we'll have little or no rain, just mostly cloudy skies, a few breaks of sun finally. Today's high is just about the low 50s. That should be about it, kind of like yesterday in terms of temperatures. And then we could get close to 60. Wow, whoop-de-doo, tomorrow afternoon, 60 degrees. And then Monday, as the hurricane will be passing by to our southeast, that'll make its closest approach to southern New England. again, I can't stress enough, if you know anyone that still has their boat out, I advise against it over the next few days. It's very rough on the seas. Small craft and gale warnings are in effect, and especially so the further southeast you go. It looks like we're going to have temperatures in the low 60s on Monday, mostly cloudy, some breaks of sun. Finally, I think we're going to get into a nice stretch of weather, and that's usually the case. As I always say, when you have a stretch going one way on the bad side of the fence, they'll usually switch it eventually, and it looks like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of the upcoming week should be mainly sunny, 60s to near 70 and 40s, and nice and dry at night, the opposite of what we have right now.
Is that called an Indian summer?
Well, I wouldn't say Indian summer because we haven't had a frost yet. We usually need to freezing temperatures to see that. But you can call it that in sort of a low-grade Indian summer, just the fact that the weather's been so damp and cool for this time of the year, especially the daytimes.
Jim,
or not, our average low temperature now for this time of the year is about 46. So today is just about where we should be in terms of the morning low temperature. It's just that everything is relative in weather, as I always say. The fact that we've had several days of cloudy skies, damp conditions, at times wet, makes the 46 seem rather unpleasant, yet this is actually where we should be. It's just that we've had the days not going above the low and mid-50s. So you're like, oh, what's going on? But anyway, that's the situation in terms of the weather. It's the real nice stretch of weather Tuesday through Friday of this upcoming week.
Jim, I was in the kitchen Wednesday, and that was a very muggy, tropical day. And yes. I reached for the salt shaker, and no salt came out.
Oh, yeah, that was the high dew point air, yes. The high humidity. And that was the flow of air, Tony, that was coming up the coast. And that was still at that time we were concerned about that tropical air guiding the hurricane up towards the northeast United States, again, the center of it.
But it's just so amazing how weather can change in a moment, from one day in a matter of hours, you know.
It's all in the wind direction, as I always say as well. Earlier this past week, the wind was, as you just noticed, again, with the salt not coming out of the shaker, it was a tropical southerly air mass. And then you might have noticed the other day, late in the afternoon, it suddenly got rather chilly as the wind shifted into the north. And then now, since then, it's been northeast for about 3 days now. And it looks like it's going to continue that way. But then eventually it's going to go north and northwest. That's the Tuesday wind direction, and once we get northwest, that's a dry wind direction. That's why the weather will be real nice. And by Tuesday, Tony, I think your salt will be able to come out of the shaker.
Either that or put, like, white rice in a shaker.
That's I know, that always helps. Yeah, that does.
Cooked or raw?
Yeah.
Raw.
Oh, okay.
Yes, raw. So are you going to be able to stick around and we can talk actually about hurricanes? And I do have a question on the flip side, too, is like, what's the most devastating hurricane you ever covered in your career? Because I'd be curious to find out, because you have seen it all, been there, done that, and everything. So I want your expert opinion. And also, too, let's go down, like, what's the difference between a watch and a warning? And we'll talk more about that, and then we'll wrap up the show. I can't believe that our time is just, like, zooming by this morning. And I really appreciate you hanging on for an extra few minutes before we have to close up our time. So we're going to take a quick break. All right, you going to hang in with us?
Sure will.
Perfect. Okay, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you love a parade? Well, sir, a Halloween parade is set to take place on Sunday, October 25th at precisely 12 o'clock p.m., starting at the Attleboro Norton Line to follow Route 123 to St. Mary's Church in Norton, Massachusetts. The kids can dress up in their Halloween costumes if they like and catch armfuls of candy. For more information about this family-friendly event, visit the web at www.nortonparksandrec.com.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
I burnt everything.
Ah! And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. And then, somehow, my hand.
My hand! And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right! It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Ghost Stories in the Cemetery will take place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Sunday, October 18th, as part of the 100th year anniversary of Rehoboth. Do you have a ghost story or tale of the paranormal to share? Call the Blanding Library, located on Bay State Road in Rehoboth, at 508-252-4236.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to talk to Jim Corbin about that moon eclipse, that blood moon. I actually did stick around and go out at different intervals, and the timing was great. You were right on the money, you know, and 19 minutes after 10, it was really going full, and the blood moon came through, and it was just amazing sight. I figured I better see it because I won't be around for another 33 years.
Oh, yes, you will. Only the good die young.
Hey! Anyway. Oh, Tony, if you didn't bring me coffee, I'd shut off your mic. Okay, so anyway, Jim, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Oh, actually, Elaine, the same. It's going to be 18 years since the next time we see something like that.
Oh, okay. I'll just be barely making it.
But even before then, the reason they say 18 years for that is the combination of not just a lunar eclipse, but the fact that the moon was so close. Well, probably in another couple of years we'll have another eclipse like that. It just won't be the big moon, as they've been calling it, or whatever they've been saying, the super moon, I think. So
right, that so was really, just really
so
great.
So we'll still be able to see the blood moons probably every other year, but it's not going to be the super blood moon that is really big and close to the Earth. So that's why it's like 18 years until what we saw the other night, but we'll still have lunar eclipses that just will be a regular-sized moon.
Wow. All right, my friend, we've got a few minutes.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you, what was the most devastating hurricane that you had to cover as a meteorologist, and why?
I would say Hurricane Gloria, my first live shot I ever did, 1985, up in Portland, Maine. And we were up on the top of the hill, the east side of, if you've ever been up to Portland, the east side goes up on a hill and overlooks the Casco Bay up there. And to make a long story short, that was a pretty potent hurricane, and the van at the time where I was near the live shot almost tipped over on me and blew me off the hill. I would have tumbled down hundreds of feet,
but
I did, fortunately. Yeah, but that was Hurricane Gloria, September 27th, 1985. And really the second one that I was out in covering, not Hurricane Bob, I actually had that day off, but was Hurricane Irene just a few years ago down by the hurricane barrier, which was not necessarily a really bad hurricane, but we were down by the water there and a lot of the trees down by the east side there. Again, what is that? I talked about this, I think, last week. What's that place down there right by the hurricane barrier, the restaurant there or the club?
The Hut Club.
It was down near there and down by the hurricane barrier, and we had trees falling down right near where we were. So, I mean, the thing about it is, and you talked about the fact that we are going to miss this hurricane in terms of the direct hit. Most of the time, we have close calls here in New England. And, for example, way back on this date in 1841, there was a hurricane. I think I just say 1841, who cares about that? Well, it killed about 57 men on ships. 20 ships sank off the Cape because the forecasting was just not, they didn't know it was coming, you know. Mm-hmm. And then on tomorrow's date, October 4th, 1869, we had a storm similar to what 1938 was, except it passed right over Cape Cod, affected Rhode Island, Massachusetts, 1869, the great Saxby Gale, a guy named Saxby, studied the storm in 1869. And from then on, we started to know a little more about hurricanes and what they do. But boy, I'll tell you, earlier this week, all forecasters were very concerned about what could have happened sometime by late this weekend or on Monday, because we could have been in the dead aim of this. Now, not as strong as it was, but we could easily have had something maybe similar to Hurricane Irene. Again, that was August 28th, 2011.
Mm. Now, I know Tony was mentioning about one of his memories of the most severe hurricane that he could remember.
Yeah, I don't know if you—well, you're younger than I am, Jim, but I do remember it was either in 54 and 55, Hurricane Carol.
Yeah, that was generally the second worst hurricane of the 20th century for New England,
wow.
behind 1938. And that year, yeah. 1954, we had three storms, Carol being the worst. We had Carol, Edna, and Hazel. And Hazel was more worst in western New England. That took the furthest west track. But we had two storms within a week, Carol and Edna in 1954. I don't know if Edna rings a bell for you, Tony, but it was about a week after Carol. So maybe it's just a... Well, for many years, I'll give you the date. September 11th, 1954 was Edna. And for many years, of course, September 11th for New England and weather lore was known as the date people died from Hurricane Edna. And of course, a few years ago, September 11th became famous for another bad situation.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and attitudes change as you grow older, because when I was young, And when you heard a hurricane coming up the coast, us kids would gather up on a corner and wait for the hurricane, you know. But when you become a homeowner, it's the other way around.
Well, talking about, and Elaine talked about at the beginning of the show, about things you can do around here. And again, it does look like we're going to miss the worst of this, but we're not out of the hurricane season yet, so who knows? We could be faced with a threat of another one. Most people don't live right on the ocean. If you do, you know enough that you board up your house if you have to, especially if you're in a floodplain. But if you live inland, the real issue with hurricanes around here, because the trees are still in leaf, hurricanes almost always hit us in the warm season, so the trees still have leaves on them, is you want to be concerned about trees falling down on your house or on the power line that's outside your house, which will obviously kill the power. And that's a big issue these days, obviously, with everything running on power. You want to make sure, not only, as Elaine mentioned, those tips about maybe filling your bathtub and all this kind of stuff, but you want to make sure that some of these trees, maybe when it's outside of the season, if a tree looks like it's getting a little worn out, a lot of ants are on it, that means they're getting inside, and that makes some of these trees vulnerable to fall down in winds lesser than normally you'd think. And that's why you might remember a couple of times a few months ago, some trees fell down for no reason. Remember there was one in a playground that hit some kids? It was a day with almost no wind, and the tree just fell down. And that was probably because this past winter had finished it off. So what I'm saying is trees are a big deal, and they were, I know, with Irene, because I was just driving back through the east side of Providence, back to Channel 6. I was not only driving through downed wires, but tree branches were falling down all over the place, and I was dodging them, and you could see sparks and things like that. So it's the trees you want to always be concerned about in your yard. Now, if you live in a place that doesn't have any trees or very few trees, believe it or not, you're in better shape during the hurricane season if there is a hurricane that hits, because there's not much that's going to take place that the wind is going to blow things down. That's the real issue. If you live away from the ocean, it's trees falling down on you, on your car, on your house, or falling down on power lines. That's when we have the problems during hurricanes.
I have a question, too. I know that we had talked about hurricane season. Are we almost at the end of it, Jim?
Yes. For New England, if you look at all the dates, that's why I mentioned the today's date, tomorrow's date. Really, that Hurricane Hazel I mentioned in 54 was October 15th. Almost never have we had any significant hurricanes after that date. So we're just about done with our hurricane season here in New England. Now, there'll still be some storms likely. The next named storm would be Kate, if that does occur, and there's a chance that could happen over the next week. Of course, the big question would be, would it hit New England? More than likely, as we go through the next week or two, the odds are against it. So you can almost breathe a sigh of relief, I think, for now, that we've gone through most of our season. Of course, the official end for the entire Atlantic Basin, the Caribbean, ends on November 30th.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Well, listen, I've got to wrap up because I've only got a minute and 30 seconds left. But
there's never enough time.
I know.
Thanks for talking with you all, and I'll talk to you next week.
Oh, listen, right. Jim, thank you very much for calling in. You're such a wealth of information. You enhance my show so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elaine. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. That was our meteorologist. I am so grateful for him to calling in and giving us a weather update because, you know, it's really great. A lot of storms, a lot of things happen on a weekend, and I'm really glad like on Saturday we have Jim to give us a forecast before we have to wrap up. So anyway, my friend, I know that we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for coming in and also bringing coffee in because it's really great. But also, folks, I'd like to thank all of you for listening today. Mike Catanzaro, thank you so much for coming on and keeping me straight on the board and giving me cues and everything. Tony, thank you. Jim Corbin, you enhance my show every week. Thank you so much. So from all of us here, actually, I do have a few more seconds. So Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m., and then Paul Healy will be on from 10 to noon, and then I'll be back on next Saturday. So get out and about yourself, and thank you for listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll see you back here next Saturday. Take good care, everyone. Be safe.